Please be seated. So there's a whole lot of fire going on today, not just in our readings, but as you can see in the church as well. And fire is a powerful symbol and a powerful metaphor throughout Scripture. Moses hears God speaking out of the burning bush. Didn't our hearts burn within us is the question that Jesus' friends ask themselves when they reflect on their experience of encountering Jesus along the road and hearing Him open up the Scriptures for them. And of course, the Holy Spirit appears as tongues of flame dancing over the apostles' heads today in the reading from Acts. I tried to figure out how I could turn one of those into a hat. These stories have one thing in common besides the flames, and it's something they share with most of our most memorable stories from Scripture. For these are all stories in which people encountered the living God and were profoundly changed by those encounters. Our best stories are about people who heard God, were changed by what they heard, and acted in response to that change. Remember Isaiah, who heard the voice of God and said, "Send me, send me," and became God's messenger. Think of Paul, who became a spokesman for instead of an enemy of the followers of Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch insisted that Paul baptize him right then and there. And at Pentecost, the disciples became evangelists, telling the good news to all in words that all could understand. And this is a theme that we hear over and over again through the history of Christianity. People hear the good news about Jesus or have an encounter with the Holy, and it touches their hearts, and their lives are forever changed. John and Charles Wesley and their friends, although raised in and pretty cynical about the church, during their college days had a profound spiritual experience, which John described by saying, "My heart was strangely warmed." Martin Luther King Jr., at a time when his faith and strength seemed to him to be at its lowest ebb, prayed to God in his helplessness and reported that, "At that moment, I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced God before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, 'Stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and God will be at your side forever.' Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared. I was ready to face anything." So many stories of faithful people include times when they heard the voice of God, were touched by what they heard, and went on to lead transformed lives. So what about your experience? Has your heart ever burned within you, or even been strangely warmed? Have you heard the voice of God directly, or through another person, or through some other more mystical experience? And how has that encounter changed you? Now, that's only a semi-rhetorical question. You don't need to answer right now, but you should be ready to tell of your experience. Because you see, most people's experience of encountering God and Jesus in the world comes from hearing someone else tell about how their life has been transformed. The disciples on that first Pentecost told all who were gathered about how they had encountered God in the person of Jesus and how following Jesus had transformed their lives. Now that must have been some sermon the disciples preached. I'm sure every preacher since then wishes that she or he had a copy of it. I mean, sure, the mighty wind and all those tongues of flame must have helped get the message across, and it cannot have hurt that this ragtag band of uneducated fishermen and laborers and tax collectors were suddenly speaking in all the languages of the various people gathered there. But the main thing, the amazing thing, is that whatever message all of those Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, all of those heard, 3,000 in all, whatever they heard, they were persuaded. Whatever the disciples preached to them, they not only understood the words, they believed the message. And there was, we are told, a 100% conversion rate. Now, the book of Acts goes on to relate what Peter's message to those gathered was, how Peter recalled to the assembly the life of Jesus and the prophecies relating to him with a bit of accusation about their complicity in his death and called on them to become followers of Jesus. But I can't believe that Peter's words, as reported by themselves, were the message that converted the 3,000. There's something missing there. There has to be, or we could just keep saying over and over again what Peter said, and the whole world would be converted. The part that's missing from the text, I think, but which the assembled multitude must have heard and which we know to be true, is this. God loves you. That's really the good news Jesus came to spread, and the one message that, when you do come to believe it, has the power to warm hearts and to set them ablaze, to convert, to transform, to resurrect you. God loves you. I had a professor of preaching when I was in seminary who said that that was the only sermon he had ever come to preach anymore. Sometimes it was, God loves you. And sometimes it was, God loves you. And sometimes it was, God loves you. Depending on the congregation. But that was the one message he felt the world needed to hear, and needed to hear over and over and over, because we have such a hard time believing it. And I don't know why we, individually and collectively, have such a hard time believing those three simple words, but I know both from my own experience and as a pastor that it's true. Sometimes we doubt God. Sometimes we doubt God's love. And sometimes we doubt that God could love us or could love our neighbor. But that shifting doubt persists. But God responds to that persistent doubt with an ongoing Pentecost. That strange phenomenon of the disciples speaking to each other in a way that they could understand is what God is always doing. God is constantly showing us love and showing it in a way that speaks to our own temperament and circumstances. God loves us in ways that we each can understand. If you don't believe me, ask your friends. Persuade someone who trusts you to tell you about their own experiences of hearing the voice of God. Chances are, you'll find the story surprising, even unbelievable. You'll think, gosh, if that happened to me, I'd think I was going nuts. Or, that's not the voice of God. God doesn't communicate like that. But the fact is, God doesn't communicate like that to you, because that's not how you hear. God, like the disciples, speaks to each of us, loves each of us, in a way that we are able to hear, in a way that we are able to receive that love. Which is not to say that we always do hear God or always welcome God's love. We humans are a stubborn lot and can make ourselves insensible to even very persuasive messages. But lucky for us, and this may be the greatest sign that God's love, God is persistent. When we don't hear the good news that God loves us, God keeps trying, speaking in other ways, through different messengers, using new words and new experiences, never giving up until we finally are ready to embrace the good news that God loves us. That's why we have so many different stories of transformation in response to hearing God in so many different ways. God does love you. God loves you enough to have gathered you together today to sing and celebrate with one another. God loves me enough to have brought me here to be a part of this community as well. God loves us enough to insist that we keep growing in love for God and for one another, never resting in what we have been, however good it was. God loves us enough to call new people into our community so that we and they can be renewed by telling and retelling the good news in new ways, with new voices, in new languages, stories, and songs. God loves us enough to die for us, to lay down godly power and take on the image of humanity, even as God loved us enough to make us in the image of divinity. God loves us enough to suffer and die at our hands, and then, instead of hating us, to swallow up our hatred in amazing, all-powerful love, so that we can know and believe that God loves us and come to love God in return. Of course, John's gospel says it best, and who knows, these might just be the actual record of what the disciples did say to that Pentecost assembly on that day so long ago. At any rate, it's far better than anything I could say on my own, so I will give John the last word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Now, doesn't that just set your heart afire? Alleluia! Christ is risen. Amen.